This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Something kind of unique. Today we're going to do a sports medicine-oriented podcast with an innovator from Antwerp, Belgium. We're talking to him on a overseas Skype line. He's comfortably ensconced in his office in Belgium, and his name is Brent Lux. Brent is a former very high-end cyclist in a country, Flanders, which is distinguished for some world champion cyclists. It's a flat area with, you know, small rolling hills, but it's a great place to cycle, and it's the sport is a national obsession. They've really developed some champions. His focus, however, is on nutrigenomics and sports medicine. And there's a fascinating profile which his company does. The company is called 4Gold, the number 4 and gold. The implication being is that you can go for the gold with assistance from the high-tech approach that they use. To ascertain your genetic liabilities and assets. And they also have a line of sports supplements, which are designed to address vulnerabilities that some athletes might have that might impair their performance. These are performance-enhancing supplements. So it's a very interesting intersection between the science of nutrigenomics, which is an emerging science, and the science of nutritional supplementation. And I'll let Brent tell the story. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm good. Thanks for the great introduction.
Okay, great. I actually volunteered to be a guinea pig for this because I'm no great shakes as an athlete, but at 68, I continue to try and stay active. I'm a triathlete. The only way that I can win an event is by being the last man standing. And my hope is that, well into my late 60s and 70s, I can continue to compete. And then I might be the only one left, you know, competing as a 25 or 30 year old, I didn't have the assets to be a real, high-end champion athlete. And it's interesting. We did a profile, which involves a spit test, which analyzes various SNPs. SNPs are genetic variations that may make you more or less likely to perform at a high end in terms of athletic accomplishment. And so, why don't you explain the rationale of the nutrigenomic profile that you do for athletes? And by the way, you have some very celebrated athletes in your coterie of supporters. Alberto Contador, who is, you know, for those in the world of cycling, he's a legend, a several times winner of the Tour de France, and a really, really high-end athlete. He actually has undergone your workup and has endorsed your approach. So go ahead.
Yeah, we've also matched up the current world record holder on the 20 kilometer, and Mathieu van der Poel. He's the last winner of the Tour of Flanders. He's a co-owner or co-founder of For Gold. He's really into the marginal gains and every aspect, every percentage that he can perform better.
Mm-hmm. Always looking for that performance edge, you know, that little added extra that can take you across the finish line and get on the podium.
Mathieu, he has some really, really good genes. Like, he's the son of Adrie van der Poel. He has also won the Tour of Flanders, mm-hmm. and he's the grandson of Raymond Poulidor, who has also won the Tour de France, and we has also an incredible palmarès. But from Mathieu, there is a lot said that he has some really good genes and a lot of talent, but he's also a really mm-hmm. Training beast, and he's into the marginal gains and marginal gains and every aspect to become better. So that's also the reason why he became co-founder of For Gold. Mm-hmm. And then what we can do is we have like a both sides genetic enhancing performance aspect. Like, we have the nutrigenetic part, so we can really go to the individual and really look into the genome, which genes are going to make that you're going to metabolize caffein faster than another athlete. So mm-hmm. you know that you need to take those caffein supplements faster, right. just less fast than another athlete.
Right. We know that, for example, that, you know, some people have an ergogenic benefit from taking caffeine before an event. But your assessment can tell people whether they have a gene which makes them very susceptible to the adverse effects of caffeine, or whether caffeine is something that could be used as part of their regimen. Right. And looking at that, just to personalize it, I'm looking at my own profile, and my profile says that when it comes to caffeine, I have a favorable profile. And I think I have a sort of a mixed gene for caffeine. I'm sensitive to caffeine, but I'm not overly sensitive to caffeine, and I can still get a little bit of a boost when I take it. It's not, you know, for people who have a gene where they very rapidly metabolize caffeine, they don't get that much of a boost, right?
Yeah, I think it's how can I explain it? It's really your caffeine metabolism, but it works like with some kind of enzymes that can metabolize caffeine faster than other people. But it's also when you're going to use caffeine more than other people, you're going to have more enzymes as other people. So it's really from the genetic aspect is the baseline. Like, you can have or you can make more enzymes as someone else, so you can metabolize caffeine faster than someone else.
Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a genetic aspect to performance, because that's otherwise they wouldn't breed thoroughbred racehorses to win events, and you know, clearly there's a lineage, and you know, just the sperm from a champion Kentucky Derby race winner can fetch hundreds of thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. so that you can breed another Kentucky Derby winner. And you know, there's like lineages sometimes of winners in racehorsing, in horse racing. I just looked also at injury sensitivity. There are actually several genes that have to do with collagen, that have to do with your antioxidant metabolism, and so on. And you've actually, with your research people, you've actually come up with a panel of SNPs, several SNPs that speak to injury susceptibility. And it's kind of bad news for me, because it turns out that, and true to form, I am a little bit susceptible to injuries. So I have to, it's this, you have a high risk for overuse injuries. Be sure to warm up before starting any type of exercise. And, I have to work on that, because, I am not the Iron Man when it comes to injury resistance. I can be susceptible to injuries. I've managed to power through them. There's another one that's important, and it has to do with a very important athletic attribute, which is VO2 max. Can you explain how genes have something to do with VO2 max? And this actually explains something, is that I'm okay, but I no way can I become a champion because I don't have the genes to have that optimal VO2 max that could, put me over the Alps and, you know, with 10,000 foot, climbs and descents.
Yeah, like the panel that we analyze is from the genes that may influence VO2 max training response. So like every athlete has like the first thing, it's the baseline, the VO2 max, like where you gifted with from your parents, like how talented you are. But the second part is like really the how trainable are you as an athlete? Can you do you have the genes that may influence that you when you're training that you can raise that VO2 max? And that's our panel that we analyze like six SNPs which can influence that VO2 max, so that the training response that you really become better from training.
Yeah, and a lot is made of this distinction between slow twitch and fast twitch muscles. And I guess, we could decide, if you want to do this on your kid, you can decide whether to enroll your kid in a running program or whether you should, have him concentrate on weightlifting. Maybe that's overly simplistic, but is there something to that? For me, it says I'm kind of so-so on both. It says, you can do either, but you may not be a champion at either discipline. I think that's the take home for me.
I think it's you can have it's really which are fiber dominant. So you have like the slow twitch fiber types. It's like type 1, and then the fast twitch fiber types are type 2. But you can, if you're going to train from sport specific, like if you have only fast twitch fibers, then from some kind of point you know that you will never be the best marathon runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
you might be a sprinter. You have the potential to be a sprinter, but you don't have that long distance capability. So maybe you should adapt your exercise training towards a goal.
Yeah, for sure. And we aren't saying that you never will be a good marathon runner, because you really, it's still, you need to do what you like, and that's the most important thing. But we really want to give as much information, like, what's your body made for? And I think this muscle fiber type panel is really interesting to know, like, I may be more a marathon guy, or maybe more a CrossFit guy, or more a sprinter guy.
Mm-hmm. And there's also some insights into nutritional requirements, and that is actually the basis of the word nutrigenomics, where we can decide, do certain people have higher requirements for certain specific nutrients? And there are some insights from your panel for athletes on, where they might supplement, right?
Yep. We have different panels into micronutrients. Like we have most of the vitamins, like vitamin C, vitamin D. Vitamin D is maybe a good example to tell a bit more about. Like we can see, for example, if you have a deficit of vitamin D in the blood, we can look like where it comes from. Like some people who were in the sun a lot, and they can still have like a vitamin D deficiency. But it's because when they're sitting in the sun, their skin is going to absorb the vitamin D, and afterwards it's going to the liver. But the liver isn't going to adapt the vitamin D to a form which the body can really use. And there is the fault, to say it like that, that kind of people needs way more vitamin D, and they need a vitamin D supplements to become the the standard vitamin D levels in the blood.
Mm-hmm. So it's there seem to be multiple levels at which vitamin D metabolism can be impaired, and therefore your panel will identify the stumbling blocks to metabolism of not just vitamin D, but other things like choline, for example. Choline, I think, is important for muscle performance because it's a building block for acetylcholine, which is the neurotransmitter that actually causes muscle contraction. So that is an important consideration for athletes as well, right?
Yeah, and it's also for phosphatidylcholine, which also really important for muscle cellular membranes. It's also important for the brain for for good liver conditions. So we can look like choline is a health vitamin. It's not that known in society just because it's a health vitamin and not a normal vitamin. And because it's a health vitamin means that we need half of the part from our from our food.
So we can make it. But we can't, but we need some outside sources. I mean, the true meaning of a vitamin is that something that you can't make, but you must get entirely from outside sources. So you say choline is somewhat endogenously produced internally by the body, but some people need more from outside sources. So it's kind of half and half. That's interesting.
Yeah, and we can look like, from some kind of people, we can look like, that choline is really a normal vitamin just because they don't make any choline by themselves. And then it's really important because some people have a choline deficiency and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. So, it's really an important panel as well, just because it's not that known, choline, but it can have a big impact on sport performance, but also on mental health, on liver health.
And also there's a lot on antioxidant status because high level exercise generates a lot of free radicals, and we know that antioxidants can play a role in not just performance but in recovery and sustained athletic careers. So you look at things like superoxide dismutase genes, other types of antioxidant pathways. Some people are vulnerable because they just don't have, for example, glutathione peroxidase plays a role in that too. And you're looking at those pathways as well.
I think like the whole panel from our radox balance panel is the most knowledge, just because we've also our nutrigenomic recovery, which is directly linked to the redox balance panel, and it has influence on the results. But we're really going to look here to 11 SNPs, and it's really the whole algorithm behind it. It's really there is a lot of science behind it because it's really important, the whole redox balance system. It's not easy just to tell people. Mm-hmm. The inflammation SNPs or the SNPs that have influence on inflammation or oxidative stress. But it's a really interesting one.
Right. Now, the other thing about this is that this is a work in progress. And you have a research team behind you. I have to say that, Belgium is a country that is really, really exciting from the standpoint of science, technological advancement. A lot of that is centered where you're located in the Flanders region of Belgium. It's really distinguishing itself in terms of high tech, and they have some wonderful universities there. And you have the resources of a lot of great scientists who can update and modify the algorithms that then spew out results for your clients.
We're working together with a university also to get the DNA extraction. We work with a university lab, and then we do the in-house interpretation of the genetic data by our scientific team, with Nicholas, our head of R&D, as most of the knowledge. And we're constantly working to improve our algorithms, to get more knowledge and to get more panels to know more about certain SNPs which can influence on the panels. So it's a young science, but we're still looking to evolve, to become better, to become smarter, and to make people to give people more information about their health so they can live more healthy.
Indeed. Yeah. And so if, you know, I submitted a saliva sample in 2020, that's all there is to it, is that you know, it's a spit test. And it's sent for evaluation overseas. But people's DNA doesn't change, you know, so that it is what it is. It could be done at birth. It could be done, you know, on your deathbed. It's the same. But the science is progressing. So is it conceivable that in 2022 or 2025 that looking at the same DNA, you might come up with an enhanced interpretation of that? You might have some new spin on what those results are.
Normally, like the panels we have at the moment, we're quite sure like that they're 100% science-based and that interpretation isn't going to change. Like, for example, when you're lactose intolerant at the moment, you're lactose intolerant.
That's in stone.
It doesn't change. But I think, like, the main conclusion will not change, but there will be more side SNPs which can influence a bit. But will not make the end conclusion different.
Mm-hmm.
But there will just be more information, and everything will be just more. There will be more information to build on.
Great. All right, we're going to pause because, as our listeners know, we divide our podcast into two parts. And in part two, I want to focus on sports nutrition and some of the considerations for sports nutrition. It's a controversial field. It's an emerging field. It's a science that continually gets updated. But this Belgian team from 4Gold, the website is 4Gold.be. Is that correct? That's the domain name, BE?
Yeah, it's still correct, but normally in the quarter one of 2021, we're going to change to 4gold.eu.
Okay. All right. Well, you can get more information about the panels they offer there, but also in part two, we're going to focus on sports nutrition and some of the ways that athletes can gain that competitive edge that we all seek. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking to the CEO and developer of 4Gold, Brent Lux in Antwerp, Belgium. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.